The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the program. Albin,
yes, sir.
In a couple of minutes, we've got a big deal guest. At least I think of him as a big deal because I actually believe that he will be the next governor of California. Now, it's kind of like de Blasio in New York, the mayor of New York, yeah, or Cuomo, who is the governor of New York. Some politicians, some political figures are so bad that literally almost anyone besides them would be better. For sure, Governor Newsom is one of those characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't believe in your lifetime somebody this wretched would rise to. It's the Peter principle, right? They just rise to the level of their incompetence or are appointed by his aunt, Nancy Pelosi. It's just astonishing. And you would think anybody,
yeah,
whether it's Caitlyn Jenner or we're like, we don't care who it is, anybody but Gavin Newsom. But I want to tell you, I actually believe that my next guest, Larry Elder, will be the next governor. If you don't know who he is, stay tuned. You should know who he is. He's a big deal, and he would be easily the best governor since Ronald Reagan. So we're going to be talking to Larry Elder in just a moment. I am just out of my head with excitement that things have gotten so bad,
yeah,
that people in California are throwing out Gavin Newsom. Thank the Lord, because he has just been a disaster. That's putting it generously. It seems that the news yesterday that Governor Cuomo is going to be thrown out by his own party,
yeah,
in a rare moment of virtue signaling. They don't normally do that.
That's
but
right.
They want to come out staunchly against groping,
yeah,
which is a big thing for them to, yeah, judge groping.
I think hair sniffing is still okay. It's groping.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But the fact that Cuomo may have to go out, leave. Now, de Blasio, it doesn't get worse than de Blasio. He yesterday announced by diktat. And folks, I want you to understand what's happening. We've never, if you're young, you think maybe this is normal. I'm here to tell you, when de Blasio said that to go to a public place, to go to a restaurant or whatever, you have to have a vaccine like passport, you got to have one of those. But I just thought, this is so un-American and so sick that I can't get over how crazy this is. And people are going to go along with this. In other words, they're not thinking like, you know what, I should probably get the vaccine because it's good for my health. No, they're thinking, I'm going to get the vaccine because I want to eat at a restaurant.
Yeah,
that's where we are. We know that the vaccine is not, technically it's not a vaccine. It was rushed through as an emergency measure. Why? Because we thought this is the bubonic plague. We've got to do everything we can. We've got to do the Manhattan Project to create something,
yeah,
for people who might die if they get. Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody who's healthy, in my opinion, shouldn't get it. If you want to get it, good for you. But if 5 years from now you find out you can't have kids or, yeah, you're having some problems, who are you going to blame? Who are you going to sue? There's, yeah, no reason to play with the future. There's no reason. So,
yeah,
de Blasio has done this. And I just want to say, if there's not pushback in New York on this, this is horrific.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning that we'd come to this place. So I just want to say we've got some really creepy, sick stuff happening in America. And I just want you to know there are many people like me who understand this is sick. This is, it's not just un-American, it's anti-American. And if you don't push back, you're part of the problem, folks. You are part of the problem. You can read my Bonhoeffer book. A lot of good people became part of the problem, and they regretted it for the rest of their lives. So,
yeah,
on that happy note,
yes,
Albin,
yes,
you,
yes, sir,
have something kind of weird and interesting along the same lines that you want to share with the group.
Well, we started a little segment called What We're Watching.
Yes.
Well, what my identical twin brother is watching his network. That's his favorite movie. Now, that was
1976.
Robert Duvall, Faye Dunaway, William Holden, and of course, Peter Finch played Howard Beale.
Peter Finch.
Yeah. Now, if you watch that today, you will be astonished. Like, even just some of the speeches, I took them out of...
I just want to say, though, when we talk about what we're watching, this is stuff that we're watching on TV we want to share. Okay,
yeah.
But there are certain things we watch or talk about that are, I would say, cultural icons.
Yes.
And so if you're a young person, you're not familiar with the movie Network, it's one of those films like The Godfather. You want to know about it. It's kind of like saying, well, I'm young. I don't know who's Abraham Lincoln. You're going to be responsible for this on the test of life. I think Network rises to that level. Yep. He's a classic. People refer to it all the time. So please go ahead.
Yeah. And Ned Beatty plays the head of the network. His name is Arthur Jensen. And he says in a speech to Howard Beale, trying to get him on board to what's happening in America and the world. This is what he says. You get up there on your little 21-inch screen and how about America and democracy? There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont and Dow and Union Carbide and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today. What do you think the Russians talk about their council in their councils of state about Karl Marx? No, they get out their little calculators and they figure out, they compute the price, cost, probabilities and transactions. And so there's no nations anymore. It's the corporations that have a say and tell us what to do.
And that was 1976.
Yes.
So this was coming, and sometimes prescient prophetic minds like Paddy Chayefsky, who created this, they see these things. Yeah. So that was in a film in 1976.
Yeah, and this is after, well, then Howard Beale goes on. And
he's
point,
the hero. He's the Cassandra figure, the hero of the film.
Howard Beale, played by Peter Finch. He says, I don't have to tell you, these on camera now, I don't have to tell you folks that things are bad. Everybody knows that things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work. They're scared of losing their job. The dollar doesn't buy a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under a counter. Punks running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do. And there's no end to it. And this is right before he says, you got to get mad, folks. You got to get up and say, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I mean, but how amazing. Look, anybody who's a little bit older remembers, if you like me, I remember New York. I mean, I remember America, but I remember New York in the 70s. It was a nightmare. It was a crime zone. People didn't know what to do. People are leaving the cities because of the crime. Who suffers the most when you have really bad leadership? The poor suffer the most crime, the most, you know, cops fearing going in neighborhoods and stuff. So that's happening today. And when de Blasio was elected, I thought to myself, we've had such a golden age in New York since Giuliani. I mean, it's hard to believe that one human being like Giuliani was able to turn a city around extremely dramatically. I mean, I talk about Wilberforce. Wilberforce did that with England and with the West. I mean, over decades. Giuliani came in here and in a few years was able to very dramatically, staggeringly change New York. And Bloomberg really was kind of like a manager. He managed that. He had enough common sense. De Blasio has, in a very short time, undone much of the good, you know, many of the good efforts. So we are at a place right now in places like New York and Chicago and San Francisco, whatever, that it really feels like the 70s. It's like everybody's thinking, what's going on? Our leaders are crazy, pathetic. Everything's falling apart. So it's just wild to see a film like Network from 1976.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know, it just blows your mind. You know, the other thing that gets me is that people say, like, well, it's just wearing a mask. Just put on a mask and go in a restaurant, you know?
Just put on a little yellow star. What's the big deal?
That shows
you're a Jew. People want to know.
Yeah.
Are you? Just wear the little yellow star.
Are you on board? Come on.
It couldn't hurt.
Yeah.
It couldn't hurt.
You're not going to spread disease.
Okay, so I'd like to end on a positive note. Before we go to Larry Elder, by the way, I'm so excited about Larry Elder. And then we got John Zmirak coming up. Don't go away. But I want to say we're doing, this is pure positive, great news. We are doing a fundraiser again for Food for the Poor. These folks are heroes. They work in the third world. If you care about the poor, go to our website, metaxastalk.com. Give whatever you can to Food for the Poor. We want to reward you by sending you all these gifts and stuff. We know you don't do it for that, but these folks need your help. Later in the program, Mary, maybe after Larry Elder, I'll talk more with you about that. Larry Elder is also a big proponent of giving to Food for the Poor. Just go to MetaxasTalk.com. If you can call, I'm going to give you the phone number. You ready? 844-863-HOPE. Do something positive. 844-863-HOPE. 844-863-HOPE. Stay tuned for the next governor of California.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Today is, what's today, Albin? Wednesday. Oh, Wednesday's the day that I interview the next governor of California, Bruce Jenner. But actually, Bruce was not available. He's going through some kind of complicated transition. So I thought, let me get the next best thing, Larry Elder. Larry Elder, my friend, we have some things in common. We are both national hosts on the Salem Radio Network. But we have some things, we have some differences. For example, I do not identify as a black American. You do. And also, I'm not running for governor of California. Somebody told me that you were running for governor of California. Can you tell us about this?
I can't confirm that rumor. And by the way, I think Bruce goes by the name of Caitlin. Yes, I am running for the governor of California. I've been officially, Eric, a politician for all of a little more than 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, according to the polls, I have 23%, my next rival. I forget how much he has, but it's not very much. I'm already the front runner on the Republican side. But that probably isn't even that that big of a deal, because this is a two-step deal. The voters in California first have to vote to recall Gavin Newsom. That requires 50% plus one voter to do so. That it will then be added up later on. And assuming 50% plus one have voted to remove Gavin Newsom, then you go to who do you want to replace him? And so far, I'm the leader. But the reason I'm getting into this race, Eric, is because of the way this man has shut down this state in the more severe way than any of the other 49 states. He literally was sitting at that French restaurant called the French Laundry, which I hadn't even heard of until and this happened in Napa Valley. He incurred a $12,000 wine tab, by the way, which taxpayers have to spend, but more than that, he was sitting there with the very lobbyists and medical professionals in his cabinet that drafted the very mandates that he was violating by not wearing masks, by not socially distancing. Then we have the problem of rising crime. We have the problem of rising homelessness. For the first time in our state's history, there's been a net migration out of California. And the primary reason that people making between 50 and 100K give for leaving California is that they cannot afford the price of a home.
Larry, before you go on, because I just want to tell you, look, I just want to say, first of all, I can't tell you how thrilled I am that you're running to be governor of California. I just want to be really clear with my audience. Most people who pay glancing attention to the news know that blue states, in particular, the bluest of the blue, like California, have never experienced anything like what they're going through right now. I mean, anybody paying any attention knows California is in free fall. The pretty boy pseudo-governor Gavin Newsom, who's what, the nephew or niece of Nancy Pelosi. This is a kind of thing that it didn't used to matter. In other words, we used to live at a time when governors and mayors could only do so much damage. But because of COVID, they've been given extraordinary powers. Some of them have arrogated those powers to themselves. And so we are seeing a level of breakdown that none of us in our lifetimes have seen really since the 70s, basically, where, I mean, New York in the 70s and other places were just on fire, a mess. It's happening now. So I just have to ask you, what was it that made you, Larry Elder, whom I know as a political pundit and a very successful radio host and businessman, what was it that pulled you into thinking, I want to run for governor? Because up until recently, I hadn't even heard that you had those kinds of ambitions or thoughts. What was it that made you decide to go there?
Well, Eric, it was precisely what you said. This is a breakdown, the likes of which I've never seen. I am born and raised in California. And because of what this man did in shutting down the state, clamming down the state, about a third maybe of small businesses have shuttered forever. Now, in addition to all the other things that you mentioned that I've done, I also ran a small business for about 14 years. I was able to sell it. It wasn't liquidated. It didn't go bankrupt. And it is hard, hard, hard to run a business. Nearly half of them fail. And those that do succeed are operating on very thin margins, often just going from payroll to payroll. And this guy has just destroyed the dreams and hopes of so many people who own businesses here in California. Again, while exempting his own winery from the very mandates he put down the throats of everybody else, while his own kids were enjoying in-person private education. And speaking of which, 75% of black boys pre-pandemic, Eric, could not read at state levels of proficiency, and those levels are not high. Nearly half of all third graders cannot read at state levels of proficiency. 80% of the public school students in California are black and brown. These are the ones that the left claim that they care about. I went to a school called Crenshaw High School. You saw the movie Boys in the Hood. That's my high school. 2% of kids at Crenshaw High School are math proficient. Now, who the bleep sends their kid to a school where only 2% of the kids are math proficient if they have an out? I support choice. I want the money to follow the child rather than the other way around. The teachers union, the largest funder of Gavin Newsom, adamantly opposed the school choice. Why? Because the teachers are not union members and because they don't get those automatic dues. Now, when you look at where teachers send their own school-age kids, overwhelmingly around the country, families with teachers in them send their kids to private schools far higher rates than do the families that don't have teachers public school teachers in their families. It's the equivalent of opening up a restaurant saying, come on in, just don't eat the food. The people who know the school system the best aren't putting their own kids in it. It is absolutely outrageous. Yet, even though polls show that the majority of urban parents, black and brown parents, support choice in school, they go in there like lemmings year after year after year and pull that lever for the Democratic Party. I can break that stranglehold, and that's why I think they're afraid of me.
When you say you can break that stranglehold, tell my audience why you think you can break that. Because we understand we're fighting against really dark forces. I mean, these are folks that they're making money, they're amassing power, they're clinging to power. They will do and have done virtually anything to defeat folks like you in the past. Why do you have the idea that you might be able to win?
Well, I'm from the hood. I was born and raised in an area of L.A. called Pico Union, which then and now is heavily Hispanic. And then we moved uptown to South Central, and I went to public high schools. I can talk firsthand about what's going on with our schools. I can talk firsthand to black and brown people living in the barrio, living in the hood, exactly what the Democrats have done. I gave an interview recently to a newspaper called the Sacramento Observer. It's a black newspaper. And I could tell when I walked in, Eric, I get this look. I'm an Uncle Tom. I'm a sellout. I'm an Oreo. I'm a coconut. All the things I've been called over the years.
A coconut? By the way. That's a new one on me, Larry. I've never heard that, a coconut. Okay.
Brown on the outside, white on the inside.
Well, I figured it out. Yeah, I got it.
And I could just tell by their body language that they weren't feeling me until I opened my mouth. And I said, aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of the fact that two-thirds of black parents say they don't want to send their kids now back to the Los Angeles Unified School District in the fall because of virtual education. They were able to see the crappy education these kids were getting. Aren't you tired of the fact that 75% of black boys cannot read at state level to proficiency? And I told them, out of the 300 public school teachers in California, most people estimate that all public school teachers in America, roughly 5% of them, Eric, are incompetent. If that holds in California, you're talking about 15,000 incompetent teachers, most of whom are assigned to South Central Los Angeles, not to the Valley, not to the West Side, but to South Central Los Angeles. And yet you're pulling that lever for the Democratic Party, the party that's the largest funder of the teachers union is the largest funder of the Democratic Party for Gavin Newsom, and they're not giving parents what they want. Polls show that black and brown parents overwhelmingly living in the inner city want school choice, yet you're pulling the lever for the Democratic Party that's not giving you what you want. Aren't you sick of being used? Aren't you sick of being betrayed? Now, after that rant, I'm not saying, Eric, they became Ronald Reagan Republicans, but I could tell for the first time a light went on, and maybe, just maybe, they're going to go in there with that secret ballot and check Larry Elder, even though he has an R next to his name. I told him, you can vote for me without telling anybody if you're an independent, without telling anybody that you're a Democrat, because race, crime has no color, it's up. The declining quality of schools has no color, it's down. Homelessness has no color, it is up. And the outrageous cost of living has no color. And that is why, as I mentioned, for the first time in our state's history, people making between 50 and 100K are leaving. And the number one reason cited for leaving is the price of a home. The average price of a home in California is 150% more than the national average. One of the regular guests I have on my program is an economist named Leo Haney, and he teaches at UCLA. He's brilliant. He says because of environmental rules and regulations, most notably a law called CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act, the average price of a home in California costs 50% more than it otherwise would. I said, aren't you tired of all of this? Connect the dots. And for the first time, I can tell some wheels are turning, and maybe, just maybe, I can make some inroads and call some of the people who registered as Democrats and declined to state, which is independent in California, might rethink some of their assumptions.
I just want to say that, you know, Larry, it's one thing to be black. You're black, okay? But you're the kind of somebody, you're the kind of a candidate who can break through because of your personality. Because we have had, you know, we just live in a world where just being black, it's not going to mean anything, because there's certain people, they don't have the ability to break through. You've been a radio host for decades. You have the ability to talk to people. You just described it. People, because you grew up in those communities. And I really do believe we're on the verge of a revolution in this country, because more and more folks like you are emerging who can speak the language, because when people are suffering and you actually address their needs, they listen. We're out of time in this segment. We're going to be right back. But I just want to say, Larry, I'm so excited. I hope folks who know anybody in California will ring the bells and shoot off the firecrackers. We have got to get to the polls. Folks, I'm talking to Larry Elder. Sure. Don't go away.
Eric, please tell people to go to electelder.com and throw a little something in the tip jar, because I cannot win. This guy can raise an unlimited amount of money. I cannot. I have limitations. Electelder.com.
Folks, I'm talking to Larry Elder. I think of him as one of my colleagues on Salem Radio, as our colleague Sebastian Gorka talks about the Salem faculty. But Larry, you're doing something right now. What's that?
The Salem faculty.
The Salem faculty. I know, if I had a voice like his. But seriously, you're doing something, you know, it's just hard for me not to just want to cheer. Because what we lack in political life in the United States is people not just who understand things or who vote right, but who have courage. You have courage. When I listen to your program and I listen to you speak, you have courage and fire to be able to communicate. We really often lack that. There are other people running for the governorship against Newsom. They don't have anything compared to you on this issue. So I'm excited. And so the first question, let me ask a softball. If people want to help your campaign for governor, and I hope they do, how can they do that?
They can go to electelder.com. That's electelder.com, because, Eric, I have campaign expenditure limitations. Gavin Newsom does not. He can raise and spend an unlimited amount of money. And shortly after it was obvious I was going to get into the race, the union, SEIU union, gave him $5 million for the anti-recall side. And just a couple of days ago, the teachers union, the largest funder of his campaign, gave him an additional $1.8 million. It is estimated he's going to raise a minimum of $50 million, maybe as much as $75 million to defeat me. So if people don't go to electeldred.com, I have no hope of beating this guy. You were praising my courage. Let me just say something about that. I get that a lot, and I have to push back because I'm not storming the beaches of Normandy. Unlike my father, I was never a Marine. Unlike my older brother, I was never a member of the Navy. Like my little brother, I was never a member of the Army. I did not serve. And about all the things I've ever done in my life, that's probably the thing that I regret the most, that I didn't give back a few years to my country. So this is a small sacrifice. I'm losing a little bit of money, well, actually a lot of money compared to my net worth. Of course, nobody's lived a pure life, and anything and everything I've ever done will be exposed and will be twisted, and I know that I'll be assuming that. But this is a small price to pay for a country that I love so much and for a state that I love so much.
Well, you know, that's why you are who you are. You have perspective. You were talking about your father. You've been on this program before talking about your father, and when you've lived that kind of a life and you see what real sacrifice looks like, it's natural for you to do things that other people say, well, that's brave or that's heroic. You just think, well, what are you talking about? This is basic stuff. I've been living in a country that allowed me to succeed and to say what I want. How can I not fight for that? And again, I think sometimes things have to get very bad before people finally wake up. I mean, it's one thing to have Governor Moonbeam in the 70s, but we have now passed over the decades into a place where California, at the top of the list, things are so bad and so broken down. The level of crime, the level of homelessness in cities, they were once fine cities like San Francisco. I mean, talk about that. We have homeless encampments, and it doesn't seem like Nancy Pelosi or anybody is willing to lift a finger to protect people or to keep people safe.
You know, and just a few months ago, Governor Gavin Newsom was assaulted by a homeless man, and he was protected by his security guard. Most of us don't have security guard. And just a few days ago, Barbara Boxer was mugged by somebody in Oakland, and her cell phone was taken. Homelessness has gone through the roof. And his Governor Newsom's answer is housing first, without dealing with why people are homeless in the first place. So even if you were to build enough housing, and there's enough money to build enough housing, you haven't done anything to cause people to go to the houses, let alone to stay there. And all you've done is encourage other people from cold weather states to say, wow, if I come to California, I'll be treated with dignity and care and compassion, and everybody deserves that. And I'll get free needles, and I'll get a free home. Come on down. So cops tell me a lot of the people who are homeless, who are pitching tents, who are living in Skid Row, aren't even from California. So one of the things I'm going to do is involve our religious organizations in mentoring people to get them off the ground, off the streets. Churches are going to be adopting streets, adopting blocks, adopting neighborhoods. And I'm going to unleash the private sector. I'm going to suspend CEQA, the act I told you about earlier, so that we can build low-cost housing and low-cost apartments. So to the extent that we can get some people off and get them self-sufficient, they'll have somewhere to live. So all of that has to happen. It's not happening right now. And again, I mentioned crime. We have this narrative assault on the police, accusing the police of systemic racism. So what they're doing is engaging in passive policing as opposed to proactive policing. Bad guys know it. Crime goes up. And the very victims of this crime are the very black and brown people that the left claims that they care about. It's outrageous. And there's this defund the police movement. I mentioned that Barbara Boxer got mugged in Oakland just a few days earlier. The Oakland police chief, who happens to be black, was holding a press conference complaining about all the money being diverted from his department. And again, the overwhelming victims of the increase in crime are black and brown people, the people that the Democrats always, always, always claim that they care about. They don't. And a lot of people are waking up, and that's why 2.2 million people, including about a quarter of them were independents and Democrats, signed a petition to have this man recalled, even though they voted for him just 2 years earlier. They're fed up. I'm fed up. Californians are fed up.
You have to really screw up dramatically to have people recall you in a state like California, because if, you know, they're foolish enough to elect Gavin Newsom, which is astonishing. But then for him to squander that and to perform so badly that he would be recalled, this is a pretty big deal. When will that vote be, Larry?
Well, the actual vote is September 14, but the ballots go out on August 14, and everybody in the state that's eligible to vote will get a ballot. So by the time September the 14th rolls about, it's almost anticlimactic. So I need the money now. I need the money to put on ads on television, on radio, and in print, because as I mentioned, this guy has a massive, massive war chest.
All right, folks, if you care about America, this is a bellwether state. Talking about California, we need your help. I know Larry Elder. I hope you'll help him. Go to electelder.com. Electelder.com. We'll be right back with Larry Elder. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh.
Larry Elder. Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Elder. What do you think of that guy?
He has such a command of the issues, right? And he's
great. Forget it. But, I mean, look, he's I think things get so bad. And this is kind of funny, right? Because it's history repeats itself. In the Old Testament, you read about this over and over and over. Things get so bad, God effectively punishes us, or the people of Israel, by saying, okay, I'm going to turn you over to what you want. Like, yeah. You don't want to say, thy will be done, Lord. Okay. Then we're going to let your will be done for a while. So go ahead. I'll step back and see what happens. And things get so bad that finally people come to their senses. I think we're at a place like that right now. We got a couple of letters. I should read these.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting letters from folks. We can't read them all. But a person writes in, she says, I did a four-hour session at work in critical race theory. Is that what this is?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
She says, in it, this woman writes that it said that if you think all lives matter, then you are dismissing the concerns of minorities, right? Now, we've heard these fatiguing cliches over and over and over again. But this is a person trying to do her job, and as part of her job, she's being forced to take this indoctrination of critical race theory, which is cultural Marxism. All corporations in the United States, effectively, they have no standards, no values, no principles. They're just like, just tell us what to do so that somebody doesn't blackmail us for being on the wrong side of history, quote unquote. So they're forcing their employees to do this. And this person says some of the things in what we were forced to read said that as Christians, we should embrace other religions, right? Now, I just want to say that's an abrogation of religious liberty, okay? If I believe in the God of the Bible and you're telling me I need to be open in order to keep my job, I need to be open to the ideas of other religions, it's simply not your business to do that in the workplace. You don't have the right to do that, to use to dangle this bait of if you want to get paid, if you want to keep your job, you need to be on board with these ideas. So this is happening all across America. It says, I no longer feel safe at this facility. I'm a registered nurse. Not sure what to do, but believe me when I say this is extreme. It truly is. So there are a lot of people going through this. So I want to say to you folks, you know, if you're going through anything like this, do what you can. There is a time, I just want to say, to quote the great prophet Johnny Paycheck, when you say, take this job and shove it, I ain't a working here no more. There's a time. Now, you got to feed your kids, whatever, but I just want to tell you that there is a time when you need to make your feelings known, get another job, do what you can, and then write an email or a letter. People need to express themselves. Maybe you're not going to leave your job, but you can write an anonymous letter. Express yourself to your employer. Say why this bothers you. If everybody did that, the world would change, folks. Employers, if they get a ton of letters, maybe they won't change anything, but boy, it will trouble them if they hear from you. Another person writes, my company sent an email today saying we're required to get vaccinated by September 7th or we're not allowed into the building, which means being fired. Okay. Now, if you get the vaccine and you're one of the people that has a weird side effect and 5 years from now some terrible thing happens, do you think this company is going to have your back? do you think this company is going to even pretend that they know you? They're doing this because they have nothing to lose. You have everything to lose. So again, I say to you, you know, I would never get a jab to keep a job, because this is America. There are other jobs. I would not mess around with my health for something like that.
Well, Naomi Wolf pointed out a while ago about women taking this in particular, especially of childbearing years. It could have some effect we don't know about.
But right? I mean, just the fact that we're being told, like, no, don't talk about that.
Yeah, don't.
I'm here to say, listen, I wrote a book on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you think I'm not going to talk about this stuff, if you think that there are people that have given their lives for liberty, the least I can do is do whatever else I can do, because I know that there are people that are powerless. There are people who need those jobs. So I can shoot off my big mouth here safely, but I do it on behalf of those who can't shoot off their mouths, who can't talk about this. I'm here to tell you, folks, first of all, God has your back. Do the right thing. Turn to Him. Tell Him your problems. Ask Him to provide for your kids. I'm not saying that you don't have a hand in providing for your kids, but we're living through strange times, and I just want to be here to be a voice for the voiceless, so to speak, that this is not normal. This is not American. Whatever you can do to fight this, folks, whatever you can do, please do it. Please don't go along with this. Not for yourself. I mean, if you're the kind of person that's so selfish, all you care about is, oh, I want to be able to go to a concert or a restaurant with my friends. Like, if that's where you live, that's not okay. There are people in America who need your help in fighting this, because maybe they can't fight it. Maybe they have to support their kids. So I just want to say on this program, I want to do what I can to encourage you and to encourage Americans that we're blessed to be a blessing. So if you have freedom or if you have options, use your freedom, use your options to help those who don't have freedom, who don't have options. If you do the right thing and honor God in how you live, He will honor you. That's His promise in the Word, unless it's just something that I heard in the movie Chariots of Fire. Actually, that's not true.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the Word of God.
Oh,
but
it is, yeah.
I really want to say that we're living in strange times, and I want to say over and over and over again, we all know these times are strange, so we need to stick together. We need to pray. God hears the prayers of the saints. When we pray and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. He hears your prayer, folks. When we come back, I think Larry Elder, we might grab him really quickly to just come back and to talk to us for a couple more minutes about something important, like maybe food for the poor. You think we'll talk about that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I want to say that this is another way you can give back. We're blessed in America. There are people in places like Haiti, Guatemala, Honduras. They're suffering horrors. We can help. $111 feeds a starving kid for 6 months. No, three kids for six months.
Yep.
So go to metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner. We're really grateful to you folks. Please give what you can. God bless you. When we come back, another few minutes with the great Larry Elder.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't be
Larry, just a couple of minutes left with you. You and I are colleagues on Salem Radio. We're both doing a fundraiser for Food for the Poor. Before I remind people to give to your campaign, which I hope they will, tell us a little bit about Food for the Poor, because honestly, this is a huge thing that we do every few months. What is your experience with them?
Well, they're a great organization. The money gets down to the intended beneficiary in percentages far higher than the average charity. I've gone down to Guatemala with Food for the Poor. I've actually seen Angel Aloma, the longtime executive director, in action. It's a great organization. We've raised millions of dollars through Salem for Food for the Poor. They primarily assist countries like Haiti and like Guatemala. Haiti is the poorest country, as you know, in the Western Hemisphere. The average Haitian lives on less than a dollar a day. And so we've been saving lives. We've been making people not only saving lives and giving people food, we've also been helping them become far more self-sufficient, helping the farmers become far more effective to grow more things. And so it's an organization that I really, really, really love. So if you can throw something in the tip jar for Food for the Poor, that would be absolutely great.
Well, I just should tell people, go to my website, the radio website, MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com, and you'll see the banner there. And if you have anything left over, you want to go to electelder.com. Larry, I'm serious. If you're not elected governor of California, it's lights out. It's game over. Caitlyn Jenner and John Cox, whatever, they're not you. I would say anybody but Gavin Newsom. But honestly, I know you. When you said you're throwing the hat in the ring, this is a very big deal. People need to get behind you. So I'm sure anybody who can go to electelder.com or folks, tell your friends online to give anything, give a few bucks, because this is for everything. I don't think there is a state in the union that is on the edge of the cliff the way California is, Larry. I mean, it's a sign of health that people have decided to recall Gavin Newsom. Is it not? That's pretty dramatic.
I think so. It's a state that has supermajorities in the lower chamber, the assembly, and a supermajority of Democrats in the upper chamber, the Senate. If this man can get toppled, it gives hope for all the other states around the country that something can be done about crime, about homelessness, about the outrageous cost of living, and about the way this man completely ignored science and slapped down this state in a way more severe than any of the other governors, while ignoring the very mandates himself. People are had it. They're fed up. And I think it sends a message around the country. Gavin Newsom did say something I agreed with. He said, if I get toppled, it'll be a message to the Democrat Party. Let's send that message to the Democratic Party that we've had it. Electelder.com.
Well, but isn't it true, though? I mean, I think that things had to get this bad for a state even like California to say this is no longer working. It's kind of funny for a while. People always joke about California. But we're at a point now where people's lives are being destroyed. Businesses are being destroyed. Obviously, tons of people are leaving the state of California. It's going to be in free fall, and they're going to be looking to the federal government to bail them out. I think that apart from you leading that state, I don't see that it's going to end well.
You know, and our energy and water infrastructure has not been significantly added to since the 1970s, when the state population was 50% what it is. That's why we're having water shortages and rolling brownouts. And we ought not be having that in a state that's right next to the Pacific Ocean. With all these brainiacs in Silicon Valley, we should be able to innovate ourselves out of any problem that we're having. And I want to restore that kind of hope and optimism to California.
Well, Larry, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for stepping up. Our country needs folks like you to step up sacrificially to do what is right. Our best days are ahead. But, folks, you got to get behind folks like Larry Elder. Go to electelder.com. Larry, my friend, God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless, Eric. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.